Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Mid-Delta Auction is holding two January auctions. Their 18th annual January equipment auction on Friday, January 31st. Plus, we'll be conducting a retirement auction at Egypt in Kruger, Mississippi on Wednesday, January 29th. Visit mdauction.com for details on both.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, here we go. Welcome in, everybody. Glad to see you, or glad for you to hear me, I guess, on this Thursday night or Friday, as most of you are listening to this. It's the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you being here. So I know that we talked last night about the basketball loss to Texas A&M. If you could stomach that, or if you were able to stomach that, I appreciate you watching and listening. Today is Turn the Page Day. We are moving on from discussing that game and what happened, and we are talking about this team moving forward, starting with, by the time all of you listen to this, almost all of you listen to this, tomorrow's game against Missouri on the road. And this team, this Ole Miss team, still very much being in really good shape. Great shape, even, despite the pair of losses. And I'm going to sprinkle a little optimism on you, because I do think a lot of the things that plagued them last night are correctable things. A lot of it. Not all of it. Some of it's just what it is. But they can correct a lot of things, and they can play much better than they did last night, and they can close much better than they did last night. And it doesn't need a change of personnel to get there. So we're going to talk about that on this edition of the show, presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered for personal injury. If you've been personally injured, don't waste another second. Wake up, call DJ Gregory at 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. DJ Gregory and the Gregory Law Firm, he's in Fulton, but he can take care of you anywhere. Also, if you're a small business owner or you want to start a small business and you don't know where to go from a legal perspective, call that number. Do not waste another second. Call DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm today, and he will take care of you. Personal injuries, small business, or contract disputes as well. Check him out there. Also, don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a comment on this video, and wherever you get your podcast, just search Rebel Report. And subscribe, and if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. So, Missouri coming up. There's a couple of things that I kind of want to get to, and then we'll read some of your comments and we'll get out of here. Got to be a shorter one tonight. I've got to kind of bolt here in just a little bit. But Ole Miss has lost two consecutive basketball games, one of which was in overtime on the road, and the other, they had a shot basically at the buzzer from just a few feet away at the rim against the number 13 team in college basketball, and they just didn't make it. Yes, I am well aware. Trust me, we talked about it on the radio show all day, that it was a rather epic collapse for Ole Miss. When you're up eight with a minute 52 left, you win that game. I mean, it's really that simple. There's no other excuse than you win that game. However, they are still very much in great shape as a team. They are number 18 in the net, so and just an awesome net ranking. They only fell four spots after losing at home. They've got what is a very easy quad one. I say easy meaning that it's easily quad one, and it's not going to leave quad one opportunity on Saturday with Missouri, who's 26. Texas is 33 at the moment, which is a game in which Ole Miss should win. On their home floor, and they're 33, so they could even sneak their way into a quad one win. So, I mean, and with Auburn and Kentucky, Auburn's one, Kentucky is 11. I mean, the schedule is still going to allow them to maintain their position in the metrics. The metrics love Ole Miss right now. That Alabama win is going to age like a $2,000 bottle of wine. That's a really helpful win. And as we talk about all the time, they only really need to get to eight, right? That's what they need to get to. Now, Chris Beard's aspirations are higher than that. The team's aspirations are higher than that. I understand that. But in year two, the goal is to get in the tournament. And to get in the tournament, they need four more wins. That's all they need. They are in perfect, perfect shape for that to still be outcome this season. And I think that they are a good enough basketball team to do it. They defend like hell, and they defended like hell again last night. And I think that that is not, I think, I mean, you know, at this point that that is something that they can do consistently on a nightly basis. They will be able to keep themselves in games regardless of the offensive struggles because of how well they defend. That is going to be a nightly thing. I know they're a little banged up. Morrell rolled his ankle. I mean, I guess all of their bigs are dealing with a little bit of something. But by and large, this team is going to defend on a nightly basis that will keep them in every single basketball game. They are an elite defensive basketball team. I think that is, at this point, that is easy to say. And while that's going to keep them in every game, the things that cost them last night, or for those of you listening, Wednesday night, are correctable things, right? They've got to do it. This has become a theme for them, the inability to close. It happened Wednesday. They lost the overtime period on Saturday. And even the end of the Alabama game got weird for a while because they struggled to close. But things, little things, like not traveling on, I don't think it was the appropriate call, but still, a travel call that would have been an easy two that probably wins the game. Throwing the ball away on an inbounds. Having a violation, you can't get the ball across midcourt that cost you a turnover. Should have called a timeout there. Putting the ball in the appropriate player's hands when you need the front end of a one-and-one to go in. Having a better design or better personnel grouping to ensure that the ball gets into somebody that is more capable of making that free throw's hands. Little things like that that they have struggled with closing games, you don't need, like, it's not a personnel issue, right? It's an execution issue. And they can clean a lot of the stuff that plagued them last night, those things that they can improve on. They can get better at those things. They can improve there. It's not like they just have this glaring personnel issue. Well, there is one spot. I think that this team would be better served to have a true, real center, right? But they don't have one, and it's too late for that. But the things that cost them last night are correctable, fixable. They are too old. They're too veteran. They're too experienced to have this be something that they do consistently for the rest of the season. So I think they're good enough defensively, elite defensively. Their problems in a lot of ways are things that they can clean up. I would like to see them attack the basket a little bit more, especially their guards. I saw somebody, I forget, I guess it was the Alabama game or maybe the Mississippi State game, where I saw somebody say that, you know, Juju Murray should never be underneath the basket with the ball. And I thought, I mean, maybe I don't know ball, but a guard penetrating and breaking down a defense and getting the ball at the rim is exactly what you want a guard to do. So I didn't understand that. They need to do that more. Ole Miss needs to do a better job at creating free throw attempts. They need to do a better job at attacking defenses, both with their guards, and then also they need to get the ball and find a way to get the ball to Dia on the block, and he needs to create contact and get to the free throw line, because four free throws last night was not an officiating deal. That was a lack of aggression deal. And those are things that they can do better that doesn't require a new player for them to be able to do. At least I don't think that it is. So there's a lot to love about their current position in the metrics. I think when you look at this team, despite the failures of the last two games, in three of their four losses, they lost by 3, 1, and 1 point. So it's not like they're getting beaten down by the better teams they play and are feasting on poor teams. They are good enough to compete on a nightly basis with every single team in the SEC. The question now moving forward, I think, is can they get off the mat? First of all, correct those things, right? But emotionally, can they get off the mat and not let one loss become two? Because there is a real opportunity on Saturday and on Wednesday to get right back on track. And there's also the same opportunity for them to free fall. You can just as easily go lose in Columbia as you can win on Saturday. I like the matchup that Ole Miss has in this game. But you can just as easily go in and lose. And then turn around and look, I know that Texas is not certainly not the best team in the SEC, but they can beat you. They just did it to Missouri at home. And then you have Kentucky and Auburn. So you have a possibility of a free fall. We're going to learn a lot about this team on Saturday's mental makeup, right? And they have veteran guys, but do they have strong leadership? Can they take what happened on Wednesday, turn it into something that they build on and become better from and kind of take the fight to Missouri? Or are they going to let this turn them into a team that free falls? We're about to find out. I do like this matchup. Missouri seems like a team that at least they've got a couple of guys that shoot the three ball pretty well. As a team, their three-point shooting numbers are actually pretty good. I think that they have a chance to be long. They've got a couple of guys that are listed as guard, but they're long, athletic-type players. Don't particularly have – like they certainly don't present the same rebounding challenge that A&M did the other night. I don't think they defend as well as A&M did the other night. I think Ole Miss matches up well in this game. If they're able to continue to play great, especially perimeter defense, and I know you know A&M had a 20% shooter make two of the biggest threes of his life the other night, but if Ole Miss can continue to force turnovers, which Missouri averages double-digit turnovers a game, so they haven't faced a defense like Ole Miss yet that disrupts passing lanes and forces turnovers, and they have a propensity to turn the basketball over some. They're not as good rebounding as A&M was, for example, and they're not as physically imposing from 1 to 5 as a couple of teams that they've played so far this year are. I like the matchup. It's all about mental with Ole Miss. Can they get off the mat and execute and play well? Because I think defensively, they're going to keep themselves in this game and give themselves an opportunity to win. Can they learn from what happened? We'll have to see. But this is a very important two-game stretch. At a minimum, they have to get one of these. I think they can get both of them. I am still not ready to sell what I thought about this team because of two losses, that one of which is in overtime and one is essentially at the buzzer against a team that has the most ranked wins in college basketball. Not ready to sell on them yet. There's too much to like about this team to do that emotionally. Are they ready, or are they going to get up and take the fight to Missouri and win? We'll just have to see. I know this is going to be a shorter one. I will read as many of your comments as I can before we got to go, but I want to tell you first that the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. ABSMS.com is the website. Check them out online at Advantage Business Systems. They will take care of you for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you, by the way. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, whatever you need in the office and what you can spend, and they will come out and perform an assessment on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's likely to be one in your backyard. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. That's where I do it. Right next to Topgolf, actually, is my location. So find one close to you. They will take care of you. Their online banking platform is great. They have local loan servicing and decision-making. Bank with me at Priority One Bank because they make you their priority. Says James here, happy birthday to me. Good vibes from Alabama. Happy birthday, man. Hope you have a great one. Thank you for spending a little bit of that with us here. I can certainly say that was one of the more stunned crowds I've seen in a basketball game. Felt like Ole Miss had it all the way until that meltdown at the end, because they did. There was never a point where I thought that Ole Miss was going to lose the game until essentially they did. They played 36 minutes of good enough to win basketball, because that's a really good A&M team. And you knew it was going to be a rock fight, because that's the kind of style that they can play and are good enough to play. And they defended well, and Ole Miss defended well. And all offense was tough, but they were always kind of in control until they just stopped being in control. It is a major issue. Closing games, no doubt, is a massive issue. But the things that they did are correctable things. They can do a better job at breaking press. They can do a better job at inbounds. That doesn't take skill, right? That takes preparation. Chris Beard can call a timeout when you're about to turn it over because you can't get it across midcourt. Those kind of things are correctable things, though. If Jamin Brakefield gets to those two goaltends 0.05 seconds sooner, then we're having a totally different conversation today. It'd be different if these teams were if State blew them out and A&M blew them out. Then you could be really concerned. I don't think it's yet time to be concerned. Couldn't sleep last night from the game. A lot of people were like that. I did kind of go on a rant. I did the tough guy sports radio guy thing today because I did see, and I don't know how many Ole Miss fans are actually like this, but I did see a lot of, well, you know, you finally get the fans to show up and then this is what you do and they'll never come back and when's baseball starting and all that crap. And I was like, those people are losers. And if you're one of those people, I forgive being so strong, but if a loss to the number 13 team in college basketball at the buzzer essentially causes you to give up completely on the season, you're a loser. I'm sorry to be so strong, but that's the truth. You are. There is no reason whatsoever at all to give up on this basketball team because they lost a game. I know it was ugly. I know they could just completely botched it. They vomited all over themselves. I get it. But that lack of perspective from some number of Ole Miss fans I thought was bizarre yesterday. There's a difference between being sad about the game and losing all perspective about the program and how you should support it. You know what I mean? Next two games are paramount. I mean, I really like the matchup. I really like the matchup on Saturday. I think Ole Miss can go in there and win. Now, it's an evening tip-off. It's, I assume, going to be a really good crowd, but that they haven't to this point been overly intimidated by atmosphere. You know, I know they got off to a bad start in Starkville, but they were able to climb right back in that thing and execute well in the second half, just not in overtime. Largely anyway. And they didn't seem intimidated by the environment. So maybe you'll get more of that on Saturday. Hoping for more of an inside game, need more balance and rebounds. Rebounding's just, I mean, they do a good job of rebounding the first four games and then just get dominated on the boards the last couple. Got to do better there. Atmosphere last night was incredible. Students filled the upper and lower sections, probably about 70% of the crowd. TV doesn't pick it up as much, but it got really loud. Looked outstanding. I talked to a lot of people there that thought it was really good, and it can even still be better. It can even still be better. But yeah, man, for a Wednesday night 8 o'clock tip off, it was great. And I hope the people that were there recognize how important that is to the success of the team on the floor and do it again on Wednesday. Texas is a cannot lose, must win, whatever you want to call it. If they lose Saturday, it's a must win. It's absolutely a must win with Kentucky and Auburn coming. If they happen to get that game Saturday, then we'll figure out to call it ahead of time. If they can start out strong and keep the defense moving, it will help tremendously. Absolutely. The SEC is very unpredictable this year. And I think that the unpredictability stems from the fact that it's just really good. I think it's really that simple. Is the league, even the bad teams, are really good. They get a pretty decent matchup with Missouri, though it's on the road. If they win these next two coming up, then you can flush what happened last night. Absolutely. I mean, if we're being honest, I think it works out this way. If they beat Missouri, I think it's, I mean, generally, like, they wash each other out, right? Like, you're expect to and you're supposed to protect your home floor. They were not able to do that. Expecting road wins, especially against ranked teams, is not something that you should do when you're doing the WL thing very often anyway. So I told you going into the week that I think that they need to go 2-1. Well, if they go 2-1 with one of those wins being Missouri, then great. It's exactly where they should be. You spoke with Broom from Auburn. His ankle's okay. How do you have connections with Janiah Broom? That's not good for Ole Miss, though, with Auburn coming to town in what? 8 days. Wish they had the beast guard that Illinois has. He would be perfect with the size and ability to switch. Yes. It's amazing who you can meet off TikTok. Interesting. Very interesting. I still don't have TikTok. I have not. I have not done that. Argued with a couple friends last night about rebounding. We knew they were outmatched there. It didn't lose them the game. It was the turnovers and sloppiness late. Yes, absolutely. Now, they got out-rebounded pretty badly, but they got out-rebounded pretty badly all night and had an 8-point lead with a minute 52 to go. And then they turned it over a bunch of times. That Chris Beard was not wrong. We had a listener on the radio show say that he disagreed with Beard when he said they played good enough to win. They absolutely played good enough to win. They did everything they needed to do. That game was always going to be kind of ugly because that's the kind of style that A&M plays. And frankly, that's kind of the style that Ole Miss wants to play, I think, is keep the score low, force turnovers, try to get easy buckets in transition when the opportunity presents itself. But those were two teams that slowed the game down. You had a lot of shots at the end of the shot clock. It was always going to kind of look like that. And that's the best rebounding team in basketball. So they did everything right. It did not. Nothing else mattered when you get to 152 up 8. That was as good as you could ask for, right? Man, if they had just held on to that lead, we'd have talked about, hey, look, rock fight, tough game, good win. That's all that would have mattered, but instead they did not execute. Everything else is acceptable considering the opponent. Padula should be the go-to guy late for sure. I think still, despite last night, I kind of think that they need to find a way to make sure that Brakefield is the guy that I would at least trust the most on the free throw line anyway. Neil McCready put it very well. They don't have a guy who can go get them a bucket, a guy you give it to in crunch time. Not at the rim anyway. And I would like to see more of that. Now, I know he struggled last night, but there were multiple times where Matt Morrell got to the rim and just missed a layup right at the rim. And part of me, I guess we talked about this last night, so forgive the repetition, but part of me wonders if he just lost confidence because he is athletic enough to be physical and get downhill and draw contact and get a shot up and just does not do it enough. And I don't know why. Why at his age and experience level is he not willing to say, give me the ball, I got this, you know? It's amazing they didn't even attempt a shot after the 258 mark. That's unbelievable. Padula can be elite. It seems like he can, for sure. I feel like he tenses up in those late game situations. You can easily go 1-3, God forbid, 0-4 in the next four games, and you're in a panic trying to chase wins in the second half of the season. Not good. Gut check time. Yep. Defense is one of the best you've seen this year. They are a very, very good defensive team. Some fans are taking the loss too hard in the moment with the crowd and the embarrassing end. It was painful, but it's not football. Yes, and there is a lot of football brain when it comes to last night. And in part because, I mean, man, the football team blew their shot at the playoff with three games that kind of went just like that. You know, it's almost like there's an emotional carryover from the football season to this because they lost the same way, right? Whether it was dumb mistakes or coaching that cost them in those three very close football games, dumb mistakes or a coaching decision cost them last night as well. It's like deja vu with a different shaped ball. They should give Klafke a chance at the end. Maybe he's clutch. He's not playable in those situations, though. A&M was too good and too physical. He was not. I don't think he was playable last night. He looked very, which is fine. You know, he's a young player. I think he's going to be good. But last night was not I don't think that would that was a good Klafke game. They have to be more physical and aggressive on offense with going to the basket. I mean, you just read my mind. They take the shot clock down way too much and a little too much three-point shooting. And they take the shot clock down without purpose, right? It's just kind of like swing it over here, couple dribbles, maybe try to look for Dia down low. Nah, I'm not going to do an entry pass. I'm just going to swing it back here, and we'll swing it around and then dribble a little bit more. It seems like they're purposeless on offense. My fingernails don't like games like that. Coach will get it fixed, I think. They are good. I think that it's a good team, and I'm with you. Might have been wrong about the insane home court advantage with how teams are winning on the road a lot in the league. But, yeah, but, I mean, even still, Georgia goes to Arkansas and loses last night. Florida, I mean, South Carolina has brought Florida and Auburn recently down to the wire. But Missouri also went to Florida and won. Make that make sense. They go to Florida and win, but go to Texas and lose. What? Whoever set that game's total in the 140s was giving away free money on the under. Yeah, love Ole Miss unders. Every Ole Miss basketball game this year in the SEC has just been weird. Brakefield is the guy I trust the most right now. Me too. And, I mean, I saw a lot of criticism of him last night, and I understand. I understand why. I mean, he missed the shot at the buzzer, had the traveling, which I don't think was traveling. I think the ref had a bad angle of it, but still. And then the goaltends, which are just him trying to make a play. Again, if he gets there 0.05 seconds sooner, it's a different conversation. But, yeah, I think Brakefield right now is the guy that if you had to ask me who do I get the ball to, with a two-point lead and 20 seconds left, I think you got to find a way to get it to Jamin. Murray either plays terribly or shoots lights out. He had a bad turnover last night too, but shot the ball well. Offense and clutch time losing games in football and basketball, didn't think it was Beard's best moment either. It was certainly not his best moment. Not anywhere close, but Morrell can be better. He can be a lot better, a whole lot better. He's been plagued with inconsistency most of his career, but I do think he's not helping himself enough either. And again, I know he missed shots right at the rim, but man, keep going, keep attacking the basket, break a defense down, draw a foul. Still don't like my door curtain? Well, my door curtain doesn't like you either. Oh, man. Well, appreciate you guys. Again, this is a shorter one. I got to run. You guys, this is a good message, though, actually. Time for them to show some of that culture they talk about. It's, you know, like you said, gut check time. How tough are you? Who are you? We're about to find out. Thank you, guys. Again, I know I'm sorry it's a short one, but I appreciate you. Thank you for being here and being a part. And I will talk to you maybe Saturday after the game. Definitely Sunday. We'll see how it goes. Y'all have a good night. Y'all have a good weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.